8 o'clock. Jim along with Cake today from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Most trusted name in automobiles. Schedule came out last night. Look, I think we all agree. Broncos at Seahawks, September 12th. That's the one we're all jonesing for.
Oh, yeah.
But after that, I mean, the game that you kind of look at and go, okay, this is going to be the first real barometer, the first real litmus test. And I just looked at that game with San Francisco. You got your team that made it to the NFC Championship game last year. Lost a close one to the Rams. Who's going to be quarterback? I don't know. San Francisco. But that's a team that went to the NFC Championship game last year. Beat the guy a lot of people thought might be quarterbacking in Denver. Aaron Rodgers. Really good defense. An offense that poses challenges. Especially if they can get Deebo Samuel happy once again.
Right.
Wanting to wear a Niner uniform. And so I just think that's a game that provides an early look against one of the best teams last year in the NFL in the San Francisco 49ers. So I've got some thoughts on it today. Text or call us, 970-242-1340. I mean, then right after that, I mean, you've got a stretch of three games there. With the Niners at home, you go to Allegiant and take on the Raiders, and they've done a lot to obviously improve that roster.
Yeah.
Devontae Adams, most notably.
Chandler Jones.
Yep. Got a tremendous pass rusher in Jones. Adams reteaming with Derek Carr from their college days at Fresno State. One of the best receivers in football in Devontae Adams.
Right.
And then you got the Colts with a roster that they should have been a playoff team last year. You should have won at Jacksonville, and that's the game that really sends Carson Wentz off to Washington. And the Colts with Matt Ryan there, that's a team that talent-wise, Jonathan Taylor, Leonard, I mean, that's a team that's good enough talent-wise to be a playoff team.
The only thing that will separate the Colts from making the playoffs and not is, what is Matt Ryan going to look like? Is this going to be the Matt Ryan of late where he kind of struggles, maybe has some late game collapses, where he's still got maybe a little PTSD reserved from Super Bowl 51? Or is this going to be a rejuvenation for Matt Ryan, where he's going to go into a new system, a new team, with the kind of talent around him that revitalizes his career?
Could this be kind of for the Colts Phillip Rivers 2.0? Remember, Rivers went there and took him to the playoffs, and Phillip Rivers had a good finish to his career as an Indianapolis Colt. And for Matt Ryan, he's not going to be asked to do a lot of heavy lifting. He's got a great running game. He's got one of the best offensive lines in football with Quentin Nelson in that group.
They've got a solid defense, too.
Yeah, and with Leonard, as I mentioned. And so he's not going to be asked to do too much. And I think that's the thing for Matt Ryan. That's why that team, you have to look at them as a potential playoff contender. And it's a stretch where the Broncos play three pretty good football teams. And obviously the Niners and Raiders were both playoff teams last year. Colts probably should have been there. And then after you play the Colts at home, you go to SoFi and take on the Chargers, which, look what they did. Khalil Mack and what they've added to their team, along with having a tremendous young gun in Justin Herbert.
And they were one game away from, they were a tie away from a playoff game themselves. Just like how the Colts were a win against Jacksonville away from the playoffs, the Chargers were a tie with the Raiders away from the postseason.
Right.
And they only got better.
Right. And so for you, I mean, look, like I said, we all agree Seattle, that's the game. If you're a Broncos fan, for Broncos country, excited about that one. Russell Wilson going back to his old stomping grounds, taking on his old team.
Yeah, that's right.
But after that, the game that you go, this is the game I'm looking forward to, because this is the game that's going to tell me something about this team. Because, sorry, Houston. Houston, we have a problem, and it's you.
You're the problem.
I just, while Lovie Smith, I think he takes over a really, really steps into a really difficult situation. I just think with Houston, that's a game that if you're the Broncos, you should go out and dominate the Houston Texans in the second game of the season. I mean, you got two extremely winnable games to open the campaign with, you know, at Seattle, which is going through a retooling. Could be facing Drew Lock, could be facing Geno Smith. Yeah, who knows? Dave Craig, Jim Zorn. They might have to bring back one. Matt Hasselbeck. They might have to bring back somebody from the past. I don't know. But that's a game you should go to Seattle and win. Houston at home, a game you should win.
Right.
And then rubber meets road because you're facing one of the best teams in the league in San Francisco.
Well, and taking a look at the stretch in December, it is a murder.
It's a tough finish.
You've got Baltimore to start the month of December, which is, you know, we'll see where they're at. But Lamar Jackson's always going to, I think, going to be a good quarterback. And as long as he's playing, the Ravens have a chance to win. Chiefs, Broncos, we know that one's going to be, I mean, that's your litmus test.
I mean, Niners early on gives you an idea against a really good team. But you will ultimately have to measure yourself against the team that has owned you for now, 11, 12 games. And they've had your number. They've owned you. And while, yeah, I get it, you know, last year Broncos were better against the Chiefs. That is the ultimate test of, is this team a legitimate contender?
Right.
Can you beat the Kansas City Chiefs, a team that has had a stranglehold on you?
So then you got the Cardinals at home. You got a couple home games with the Chiefs on a Sunday night and then the Cardinals at home. And, you know, will Cliff Kingsbury have the late December collapse again? Maybe. But also maybe not.
Yeah.
And Kyler Murray might finally come into his own with the help that he's got around him. Then you got a game on Christmas Day against the defending Super Bowl champions. That's going to be tough.
Yeah.
And then you got another game against the Chiefs at Arrowhead to open up the new year.
There are different benchmarks in the season. We'll get to that in a moment about where this team is. And by the way, Broncos are a 4-point favorite already at Seattle. So there you go.
Never too early.
Peyton, what about you? Got Peyton in here this morning. What about you? The game outside of the Seahawks game that you're kind of going, man, that's the one I'm kind of got circled to give me an indication about where this team is going to be.
I mean, like you were saying, like I was looking at, you know, I saw it yesterday. I took a screenshot of my phone, so I had it on me. I was thinking the same thing, 49ers, and then obviously, yeah, right after falling with the Raiders. You know, it's
right.
It's going to be like, you know, like unlike last season where it's like, yeah, these first three games should be win-win-win for the Broncos. Despite, you know, whoever's that quarterback, it should be win-win-win. And you know, like you said, Houston. Yeah. But yeah, after that Houston game, I mean, there's a good stretch there until even the Jets who did some good things in the draft and whatnot this offseason.
People think that they had the best draft of anybody.
Exactly. So, I mean, it really does. I mean, that third, fourth game are really going to be, you know, the ones that kind of test the Broncos, I think. And then, yeah, as later on as it gets, I mean, it's going to really be, it's going to depend on where everyone's at later on, I feel like, you know, and how everyone's looking at that point. But those third and fourth game are the ones that I'm kind of looking at right now.
All right, so we'll go through it here in a moment, go through the schedule. We're also going to have Keith Roberts in. Keith is the front man of the Young Dubliners. They're going to be playing at the Keeley event tonight, and that's at the Mesa Theater. That's like the kickoff to the Grand Valley Highland Games, and then the Young Dubliners will be out there tomorrow, along with the Wicked Tinkers as well. So it's another band that will be performing out at the Grand Valley Highland Games. So Keith Roberts will join us coming up in just a little bit here in studio. Let's get to the text line today. Your thoughts about the schedule, also about the Jerry Jeudy situation. Got a text this morning. Got a couple of texts on the situation with the schedule and Jerry Jeudy. We got one from Jeff this morning. Good morning, fellas. Didn't Rod Smith have a little bit of a problem with the girlfriend early in his career? Hopefully, Jeudy can get his life in order. Speaking of Rod Smith, he should be in the Hall of Fame. Rod should be in the Hall of Fame now. What you're referring to actually happened back in 2000. So this is after the Super Bowls, back-to-back Super Bowl wins. He was accused of beating his former live-in girlfriend. He threw her around, banging her head on the floor and choking her during an argument.
Ooh.
She was also the mother of his two kids. So Rod pleaded guilty, reduced charge of verbal harassment just days before he's supposed to stay on trial on third-degree assault and harassment charges. Judge sentenced him to 2 years of probation, ordered him to undergo 36 weeks of domestic violence counseling and pay $1,000 in court costs. NFL didn't suspend him, that they did fine him $25,000, which he wouldn't have to pay if he adhered to his probation. At the time, Smith denied hitting his girlfriend, and even before the NFL imposed a conditional fine, he said the league wouldn't suspend him. He told the Denver Post, quote, "It'd be different if I did what they originally said what I did, but all those charges were dropped, so I don't see how they could take that into account when she said it didn't happen under oath. We have several documents stating that." So Rod is saying it didn't happen. That's what he was charged with initially. And if I remember correctly, there was some recanting on the part of the mother of his children, his ex-girlfriend. Right. So Rod, but so there was some backing up of Rod's story from the victim at that time.
Right.
Which does create kind of a different take on it. Now, with Jerry Jeudy, didn't do anything that like what Rod Smith's been accused of. There was
no physical altercation.
Nope, did not lay hands on the mother of his child. None of that did not happen.
However,
but what did happen was childish and stupid and unnecessary.
And it got him in jail.
Kind of like the Rod Smith thing, which was childish and stupid and unnecessary. And this is Rod Smith, you know,
Pro Bowl,
well-established wide receiver.
Already two-time Super Bowl champion.
Because I remember when this happened, and you're like, Rod Smith did what?
Yeah.
Because he just doesn't seem like that kind of guy. And like I said, now, years, you know, after that, and well, I mean, we look back at it, and I'll be honest, I'd kind of forgotten about that until Jeff mentioned it.
Right.
And then it, like, okay, yeah, I remember there was an incident. In the case of Jerry Jeudy, you're taking your child's baby formula because she was going through your phone. Because what? Is there something in that phone that you don't want her to see?
And look.
Huh. Wonder what that could possibly be.
And look, maybe there was absolutely nothing, and maybe she just had this suspicion. Because here's the deal, right? He's a college football all-star. He's an NFL wide receiver. He's on the verge of being a potential Pro Bowler with a lot of hype around him. Let's face it, he could probably date any girl he wants. And whether it's on the girlfriend's part, insecurity or suspicion, maybe she knew something, maybe whatever, she thought, hey, I got to look into my guy. And so she went after his phone, and he didn't like that. And whether or not he's got anything to hide is, to me, irrelevant, because the way he reacted was, again, childish, stupid, immature, and it got him thrown in jail. So whether or not cheating, not cheating, whatever, the way he reacted was wrong. And everything I've read says that, you know, if it were just criminal tampering, it would be like a $750 fine, right? And I mean, for an NFL wide receiver, that's chump change.
Oh, yeah.
But with the domestic violence enhancer, and that's the other thing too, is to more or less, to be fair to Jerry Jeudy.
To be fair,
when people read the headline "domestic violence enhancer,"
okay, there was a physical altercation.
Immediately,
bad stuff happened.
Immediately, the flashbacks to, you know, Ray Rice and Adrian Peterson, and you know,
the list goes on of those well-known moments.
That is the headline grabber, that's the attention grabber that people will see. And then they may not read into the rest of the story, and they may not know that while there was no physical altercation, it was still something dumb. He took her wallet and locked it away and baby formula for his kid in an effort to get back at or retaliate for what the girlfriend did, which was take away his phone, thinking whatever. And again, we don't even know why she took the phone. I'm just saying my leading suspicion is just, more often than not,
yeah, I mean, there's
the girlfriend takes the phone because she thinks you're cheating. And she wants to look through the Snapchats and the texts and what, your instant messages.
Who you been talking to? What you been? What's going on? Because there's something that stinks here.
Yeah.
All right. So I've got some thoughts today on that. Let's go ahead and take a little trip through the schedule, shall we, for the Broncos? All right. So Denver will start things out at Seattle, Lumen Field, on September 12th. Russell Wilson gets his former team Monday Night Football. Drew Lock may possibly be the starting quarterback of the Seattle Seahawks. That's a win, right, for the Broncos? Get a win there?
4-point favorite.
Okay. So give the Broncos a win in week one. Already, like you said, favorite at Seattle. They get a win in week one. Back home against Houston on September 18th. Win number two for the Broncos. Let's go ahead and just give it to them right now.
Why not?
Week three, the one that I think is the early, I think there's stages in the season where you evaluate where the Broncos are. This is the first big one. Broncos at home against the Niners.
It's going to depend on two things. Number one, is Deebo Samuel at full strength and is happy? And number two, who's the quarterback?
Those are all good questions.
Is it Trey Lance?
So with that, I'm going to give the Broncos a win there. I think they get off to a 3-0 start.
I think so too.
Then they go to Vegas. Take on the Raiders.
The Raiders.
On October 2nd. I think Denver goes there. I think Denver plays well. I think that might be their first loss, though.
I mean, you know what? I could see it. But I'm not going to say it because...
I know Broncos. I'm just going on how I feel about this, okay? I would love for them to go in there and just crush the Raiders. I just think they go there and... I think they play well, but I don't think they play well enough to win.
Right.
Agree, disagree. You disagree, Peyton.
I can see it, but I'm with Cake over okay. here. I don't want to say all right. it. I'm a Raider.
All right. Hater. So I'm keeping track of mine here. You guys keep track of yours on this one.
All right.
Okay. Colts at home for Danger Russ and the Broncos.
It's a Thursday night game, though. That scares me.
Yeah, I still like them to get that. So they're 4-1, which isn't bad. Then they go to the Chargers. That's a Monday night game.
But it's a de facto home game, even though it's in LA, because we all know the history of Chargers fans.
It's got a little better, though. It's got a little better. But yeah, you're right. It's still there's gonna be plenty of orange and blue in the seats.
And look, the Broncos have been able to beat the Chargers before, going back to last season. Yeah, it was in Denver, and yeah, it was largely due to Patrick Surtain. But I still think that's a winnable game, so I'm gonna chalk up a W for that one.
Yep, me too. I've already put it down on my phone here.
I think I like the Raiders, though. I think they go there, first time on the road, at SoFi, and I think they don't play badly, but I think they come up short. So they're 4-2. That's where I've got them right now. Got the Jets at home. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
They're now 5-2. Then they go to London to play at Wembley on October 30th.
Bright and early. 7:30.
I think Jags are going to be better under Doug Peterson, but they're not going to be that much better. Mm-hmm. So now I've got the Broncos with a 6-2 mark as we head into the bye week. That's not bad. They played good football so far. Then they go to Tennessee.
This is when I'm a little scared.
Early start.
East Coast or Easterly. Right. If Derrick Henry is healthy and if Ryan Tannehill is not being Ryan Tannehilly,
right,
that could be a tough game.
I just don't like the early window. They traditionally don't play well in that window.
It's right after a bye week, too.
Yeah. I'm going to say they're 6-3. They lose at Tennessee.
I can agree with that one.
All right. So we move on here. Where they get the Raiders at home this time.
The Raiders.
I just think the home cooking is going to be good for them. I think it's going to be they're going to be 7-3. At Carolina, make it 8-3. At the Ravens, It's
going to depend.
You know, that's the early window.
Where's Lamar Jackson?
Yeah.
Does he have enough help around him?
I have them 8-4. I think they, like I said, I just don't have confidence in them when they play the early window game.
Especially on the East Coast.
Yeah. Then the Chiefs come to town.
Oh, boy. In Denver, it's a different story than in Kansas City.
Yeah, I think Denver ends up splitting with the Chiefs this season.
I'll take it. I'll take a split.
So they're 9-4. Got the Cardinals in Denver.
It's winnable, but how winnable?
Yeah.
Because Russell Wilson knows the Cardinals very well, and he's beaten them plenty of times. I think that's a win.
I'm going to say Denver gets to 10-4. I'd say they get a win at home against Arizona, even with the toys they've added there.
Right.
Then you go to L.A. on Christmas Day, take on the Rams.
Bobby Wagner. Former teammate of Russell Wilson, Matt Stafford.
No Von Miller, but that's okay.
Cooper Kupp. Oof. And Sean McVay is still one of the best coaches in the league right now, so.
I have them 10-5. I think they lose to the Rams on Christmas Day.
I could see that happening. Merry Christmas.
Then they go and play at Kansas City. I just think the Chiefs still are that good.
Ten and six.
Now it gets down to your final game of the regular season. Do they beat the Chargers at home?
I say yes.
Call me maybe overly optimistic. Some will. I say they get their 11th win. They beat the Chargers at home. Once again, this is May predictions. May 13th.
Way too early.
May 13th. I give them 11 wins.
I think
this, and that may change a lot. That might. I know there's probably. Oh, geez, Jim. Either I'm going to be way too negative, or insanely optimistic.
Right.
I'll err on the side of you saying that I'm insanely optimistic.
And again, this is going to entirely depend on where other teams are at. I mean, we don't know if Kansas City. Yeah. Without Tyreek Hill is going to look any different.
But they're still going to be good because they got that one guy there who's really, really good.
Travis Kelce. And you mean number 15.
I mean 15. Kelce's really good.
That guy that throws
the football, sound like John Gruden, that guy, that 15 guy's pretty good.
The guy with the howitzer for a right arm.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to be.
Yeah, I just think there are games that, you know, like with the Titans, I don't have confidence in them playing at 11 o'clock in the morning. The early window games have never treated the Broncos kindly.
No.
So there we go. I've got them for 11 wins. We'll see what happens. All right, 8:24. We're going to have Keith Roberts coming up in a little bit. From the Young Dubliners. We're also going to have Jackson Wilson. In fact, you know, let's grab Jackson right now. You ready to go, Jackson? You locked in?
I'm
You're ready to go?
I'm always ready to go.
Okay, we're going to grab you right now because we're going to talk with Keith Roberts with the Young Dubliners here for the Grand Valley Highland game. So grab you for a few minutes if you don't mind here. Grab you right now. Okay. The Avs are going to get the St. Louis Blues. Rematch of last year in the playoffs when they swept the Blues in the first round. Tell me the pros and cons of this matchup for the Avalanche.
Oh, well, let's see. First of all, I think the Avs got a little bit more speed than the Blues, right? So they're going to be
able to touch more.
Yeah, touch more. They're going to be able to go in and, you know, probably be chasing pucks and get pucks on net. And I don't think Jordan Binnington's having a great year either. Like, he's kind of playing a little bit more average for him. So that's something that they have to look to. And if you don't have good goaltending against this Colorado Avalanche team, you are not going to have a great shot.
You know, O'Reilly last night, he kind of helped to lead the way in that one against Minnesota last night. So they, so O'Reilly gets to face his former team once again. And I think if you're the Avalanche, how much of a negative impact is there really a negative impact when it comes to the time they have off right now? Because I think obviously for Darcy Kuemper, it's really good.
Right.
did that swelling down around the eye. Some guys had, you know, some bumps and bruises, things like that. But what are the pros and cons about having all the time off that they've had since they swept Nashville?
Let's pretext this, though, right? This was anticipated. All right?
This was kind of the hope, yeah.
Yeah, everyone was all worried, you know, they weren't playing well, da-da-da. Well, you know, if you knew Hawk, you knew the Preds didn't have a shot, right? So they were
I thought they might get one on their home ice to make it a gentleman's sweep.
You're a nice guy.
I was,
No. Yeah. No, they didn't have a shot. Like, you know, that fourth game too, right, when they scored, they went up 3-2. They're like, oh, maybe they can do it. And then right when the offs tied up, it was like, it was
over. We're not messing around with this anymore.
So, you know, I think it was anticipated. So I think Bednar probably had a good plan going into it, right? Obviously, you're not going to have those game repetitions where you're going in and you're, playing as fast-paced as these other teams for, you know, these game sixes, game sevens, right? But that's the other thing, is they're going to have more rest, be more healthy. The Blues just played 6 hard games compared to the Avs played, you know, 4 games, 2 or 3 of which they scored, I think, over 5 goals, kind of just rolling. And, you know, so it might take them a period or so to get back in it. But then also we've seen with this Colorado Avalanche team this season that not a lot has fazed them, in the sense that if they have time off or if they're not playing well or if they're on a losing streak or whatever, they can come out in that first period and pop 3 goals. So
yeah, it's, I mean, Cale Makar could be the best player on the ice. Then you can say, well, maybe Nathan McKinnon's the best player on the ice. That's a nice luxury to have, right? Where you have a guy that, one guy's probably, you know, vying for the Conn Smythe. The other guy's vying for the Norris, and should win the Norris, in my opinion.
Right.
I think he outplayed Roman Josi by a country mile. One of the other finalists for the Norris. I just think when you've got those two guys playing as well as they are right now, Jackson, there's a reason why the Avalanche now are clearly the favorite to win the Stanley Cup.
Agreed. And a guy that had a fantastic year that went through that first series very quietly is Kadri. I am waiting to see him.
And they tried to get him. Nashville tried to get him going, didn't they?
Oh yeah, and they will. Every NHL team knows that guy in the playoffs, right? They're going to try and poke the fire. They're going to try and provide oxygen, make him blow up in golf, right? But he, I think, knows that this season is their season, and he's not going to be willing to do anything to hurt their team, especially with the year he had, knowing that he can now score goals, you know, and do more than just, you know, take big hits and kind of stir the pot a little bit.
All right, Jackson Wilson, River City Sportplex with us. One other quick thing before we talk about how your guys did last weekend. Toronto and Tampa Bay. Here's Toronto once again. Chance to nail down a series, right?
Right.
Chance to move on. And Tampa Bay beats them in overtime 4-3 to force a game 7. If you're a Maple Leafs fan, you just got to be hating life, even more than you normally do.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that today and tomorrow, I think guys are just pacing around work if they're a Maple Leafs fan, and they're just struggling to figure out what life is, basically, because they had the Lightning, and you know, the Lightning have won the past 2 Stanley Cups, but that's a lot of hockey, right? You have your 82 game season, and then you have your 30 games in the playoffs, right? So they have 2 long seasons. Now they're trying to kind of keep it going, and the Leafs should have had it last night.
Oh, yeah, they should have.
And they fell apart. And so now it'll be interesting to see what happens with
you see the shot of the guy in the crowd with all the fans? He rips his Maple Leafs jersey off. Oh, here we go again.
You got to love the passion out of those Leafs fans, even though they're just, you know, they're terrible. Like, it's you know, it's still awesome from them. But no, it's been great hockey playoff so far. Bunch of game sevens coming up here on Saturday. I think where there's 4 game sevens Saturday, there's 3 game sixes tonight. So this first round, other than really the Avalanche, have all been, you know, game sixes, game seven, which is super cool. So
Jackson Wilson, River City Sportplex, with us today in the studio. And see, you guys went to Salt Lake last week, right?
Yeah.
How did the Riverhawks do?
Riverhawks did all right. So we took a lot of kids that didn't play in the winter season, and it was lower competitive level hockey. Took them out there for their first game experience, kind of created a small foundation out here in the spring rather than wait all the way until September or October to go ahead and get them out there when we're playing the league and everything like that. So, no, they did all right. didn't make it to the semis or anything like that, kind of fell off in the round robin and stuff. But, you know, a lot of kids did a lot of cool things. Small loss, 7-year-old James Sikorsky scored his first full ice goal. So
that was awesome. That had to be a thrilling moment.
Oh, unbelievable. Stole the puck from the ref, put some white tape on it, sharpied it up, right, gave it to him. He was, you know, biggest grin I'd seen in a while. So that was super fun for him and for the team. And, you know, the kids did awesome. Also got to shout out our goalie, Landon Hume, this little 12-year-old goalie. Took a bunch of shots, man. He wasn't in shell shock or nothing. He was just kept fighting, and it was awesome. So, you know, it's fun building a program up, especially in the spring when you have other teams who pool from, you know, in Salt Lake, they have, you know, about 7 organizations. So there's teams that have 3 different organizations and kids out there. And then out here, you know, we're pulling from what we have in Grand Junction with only an 8-month, really, experience of the Riverhawks. So super cool. We're building up. And, you know, it's fun to be able to have spring hockey out here rather than just stick between the 6 months of winter.
Yeah, you got to be thrilled. I mean, going up against programs have been around for a long time. Like right. You said, you know, all those kids that they can pull from, and got to be proud of the way your kids played. No doubt about that.
Oh, they're awesome, man. They're awesome. So super cool stuff.
So if you want to know about playing hockey, figure skating, learning to skate, curling, anything that's going on, any of the programs they have at River City Sportplex, just go to your website, right?
Yeah, absolutely. RiverCitySportplex.com. May 21st, we have a girls try hockey for free. So that's open any ages. So girls, women, anybody, you know, with the long hair, short hair, I don't care.
Doesn't matter.
Come out. We're trying to grow the girls' game, so that's going on May 21st, 9:45 a.m. Find more information on RiverCitySportplex.com.
Cool. Jackson, always a pleasure, man. We'll talk longer and more next week, by the way.
No worries, man.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
I'm a big sports addict.
I like sports.
Sports. Sports.
This is the Jim Davis Show on the Team. 101 FM, 1340 AM, Grand Junction. 102.1 FM, Delta Montrose.
Welcome back, 8:35. Jim along with Cake today. Game you're the most excited about on the Broncos schedule. We'd love to know what you think about that. Also, the Jerry Jeudy situation. Thank you. I appreciate it. This is a nice little lead-in to Keith Roberts from the Young Dubliners. Well done, Cake.
You're welcome.
Well done, sir. Well done. And joining us this morning from the Young Dubliners, be playing at the Keeley event tonight down at the Mesa Theater. The kickoff party for the Highland Games.
Absolutely.
Keith Roberts.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Great to have you back, Keith.
It's good to be back. It was almost a year to the day.
I know that you and I sat here and talked about being in town for the Highland Games and what the Young Dubliners are up to. So the Keeley event tonight, am I saying that correctly?
Well, it's Keeley.
Is it Keeley?
Probably, but I never, listen, I say American words all sorts of wrong ways. So
I
want
to say it the
right
correct.
Way.
So the
Keeley.
The Keeley event, yeah. Thank you. I want to say it right in your language, not
that's right.
Mine doesn't matter. So the Keeley event tonight at the Mesa Theater. Tell us more about this, because you're going to be performing the Wicked Tinkers.
They're going to be there too.
As well.
Yeah, it was exactly a year ago that we started our first tour after lockdown, and it was here with the Wicked Tinkers. I don't think I've even seen them since, because we've been doing different things, but they sort of represent the Scottish side. We represent the Irish side of the whole Celtic world.
Right.
Or as the basketball fans out there would say, it's Celtic.
Celtics, yeah.
That's the last couple of days. But yeah, so we kick it off at the Mace. It's just a great way to have sort of an indoor rock and roll start. There's pipers and all the rest. And then tomorrow we'll take it to the fairgrounds and do more of a festival vibe.
So 7 o'clock tonight. So yeah, so the energy is definitely different. The festival atmosphere at the fairgrounds opposed to the Mesa Theater, where it's inside and just, like I said, it's where you feel like you can rock it up a little more at a place like the Mesa Theater.
And it's sort of a good one. It's for the, it sort of gets the whole weekend launched off, and then you can be all hungover tomorrow.
I like that. Keith Roberts, Young Dubliners with us. The Keeley event is tonight. Doors open up at 7 at the Mesa Theater. Young Dubliners and the Wicked Tinkers will be playing. And so what's going on with the Young Dubliners? What's new for you guys right now?
Well, we're in the middle of an album. We finally got back to it. Sort of COVID kind of knocked the creativity out of a lot of musicians. You know, some musicians had amazing time. I did nothing except garden and plant potatoes and build things, nothing to do with music. But then I finally sort of clicked out of it, and now we're starting to record. Over the summer, we've been writing for the last couple of months, and now we're sort of back on the road for a while, and then we'll hopefully have it out by March.
Now, this is something that's been crowdsourced, right?
Yeah. This is what we do. We stopped using labels on the last album just because it's not really a whole... Sorry, labels, but there's not a whole point.
Right.
You know, we do it ourselves.
He's exchanged a lot.
Yeah. So our fans, basically what we say to them is, would you like to take a risk and buy the album in advance? And then we'll get to work on it. And so that's what we do. And it's at our website, youngdubliners.com. And there's various different levels you can do. You can all the way from coming to Ireland with us in March 2023, all the way down to just buying an album, you know. And it just allows us to finance it without borrowing from a label who will then expect it all back.
So it all comes into your coffers and not send it to somebody else.
It's a great feeling to finish an album and not owe $100,000.
No kidding.
I mean? Yeah, so it's great. And it's the internet, you know what I mean? It's given us the chance to do this. So
in your world, just very quickly on this, I mean, the internet for musicians, some have not always viewed it from a positive standpoint, but you, though, you have a much different take on that, I gather.
Well, a lot of musicians who were like million album sellers, it was annoying because they lost. But when you're road warriors like us who are just out there, you know...
You're a working band.
Yeah, we've always let people video the gigs, you know, we let them... We don't have that protection idea anymore. So when the internet opened it up wide, we sort of fit the model better than the big names did. So we didn't fight it, we just embraced it.
So tonight, the Kaylee event, make sure you get down there to the Mesa Theater. Doors open up at 7 o'clock, and then the Mesa County Fairgrounds. So you're going to be playing, roughly right around 8 o'clock Saturday night? Is that kind of the plan?
Yeah, they brought in a great PA and a great stage this time as well. It was a bit smaller last year, so we did daytime, but it's a full-on evening rock and roll event out there at the Fairgrounds, so we're looking forward to it.
Well, I'll have to gauge my schedule based on that now.
That's
going out tomorrow. So it's the Grand Valley Highland Games. It's tomorrow and Sunday at the Mesa County Fairgrounds, and festival times 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, Sunday morning at 9 till 10 o'clock with the Young Dubliners on Saturday night, and then 5 o'clock on Sunday. And get your tickets at the website right now, which is GrandValleyHighlandGames.com. Keith Roberts with the Young Dubliners. Make sure. The Kaylee event tonight, great opportunity to you know, listen to you guys tonight. Make sure you get down there for that. Or 8 o'clock Saturday night out at the Fairgrounds for the Grand Valley Highland Games. Keith, it is always a pleasure, sir.
Likewise. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. All right, we will take a break, and we'll come back with more on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
Yeah, I think they're like the best on the radio.
At least at the pro level, the best of the best.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back, 844. Jim along with Cake today. Got Peyton with us in here as well. Don't forget, Maverick Baseball this morning, 1045. Mavs and Colorado School of Mines. 11 o'clock, first pitch for that one. Mavs need to win that one. And then they play again tonight. So we'll see the Mavericks make a run through the loser's bracket after that loss. Tough loss yesterday to CSU Pueblo. Got one from Ruben this morning. Good morning, men. I'm looking forward to the Denver-Seattle game, and I'm actually hoping Drew has a great game. Sorry, Ruben, I'm not that generous. I'm not hoping for a Broncos loss, but I imagine the talking heads, not you, the week of that game was, after that game was too close for comfort. I always like Locke. He's a great competitive guy, and I cheer for him to get a chance. And about Judy, he's a kid, he's a paid entertainer, and human. I just think, Ruben, that in the case of Jerry Jeudy, he's a young guy. He's not a kid. He's a young guy.
23.
He's a young adult who you just don't behave that way. I'm sorry. That's
especially now that you've got a kid.
I mean, come on. Really, you're gonna keep the baby formula away from the mother of your child? What does that prove? What does that prove? And the thing, it'd be one thing if it was he said, she said. He admitted this to the Arapahoe County Sheriff's,
right?
You know, deputies that arrested him and the investigators. He admitted that he did these things.
And this is something that Peyton and I were talking about just now during the break. We were like, look, here's the deal. If he admits to it, that tells me that he's probably prepared to face consequences for the altercation or whatever it was that led up to this between him and his girlfriend or him and his mother's child. And that tells me that he's probably not in a great relationship with her. And if she took away his phone for the reasons we think she did, which is to see if he was cheating.
We assume it's because we have no facts to back this up, that she accused him of philandering.
You know, and for whatever reason, if she's looking through his personal information, then, again, maybe he didn't like that. And maybe he feels like this is one in a series of problems he has with his relationship. And again, it screams toxicity. It screams that this is something that is not healthy for either people. And you know what? Maybe some time apart might be good for them.
Could very well be the case. We got one text from Tim. Still need to do four down territory. We'll get to that in a moment. From Tim, the news does not accurately portray the justice system, and that's unfortunate. They state that Judy had a no bond hold. Well, everyone that gets arrested has a no bond hold until they see a judge at a bond hearing where it'll be set. Depending on the time someone's arrested, they may have to wait a night before that bond hearing happens, as they're usually in the morning. He just guesses probably around 8:30 this morning, but it probably already happened.
Right.
It's not so much, and thank you, I appreciate the clarification there. It's the fact that he got arrested at all, right?
Yeah.
And the reason he got arrested was because he was upset that his phone was nabbed by the mother of his child. And so he threw this whatever temper tantrum, whatever. Well, I'll show you. I'm going to show you that you can't do that to me. And so he took her wallet and the baby formula.
So this is coming from Mike Kliss.
Okay.
Per the Arapahoe County Police report, Judy and the woman. On the evening of May 11th, which would have been Wednesday, quote, things got crazy between Jerry and her. She would not explain exactly what that meant, but she did say that Jerry put her wallet and medical paperwork for their child in his car, and in the police report, would not let her get access to it. She hides her phone around the home due to jealousy issues from Jerry and does not take it around him. She does not have a phone on her currently and had to go to the neighbors to use her phone.
But she took his phone, though, correct?
Well, that's what I thought, but
now it sounds like he took her phone.
But
okay. Well,
this is getting even worse.
Still, okay, we're maybe learning more about this. Still, though, when the police are called, right? Don't you just if it's getting like that, don't you just walk away for Jerry Judy? Say, you know what? I'll come back when you've calmed down and I've calmed down. Okay, mostly don't tell her that I've calmed down. When we can de-escalate the situation. Okay, where I need to go, I'm getting upset, I'm getting agitated, I just need to go, and we'll come back and talk when cooler heads will hopefully be what we, you know, what we have in the situation.
So this is further from Mike Kliss. She's trying to get back to Virginia. This is all quoted in the police report. She's trying to get back to Virginia, but is unable to due to her not having access to a car seat, her wallet, and the medical paperwork for their child. She does not want to get him in trouble. She just wants her items back so she can leave. And then she also said, then made contact with Jerry. Jerry told police that he did take the woman's wallet and items for the baby and formula for the baby, locked them in the car so she could not access them. He did this because she took one of his three phones and would not give it back. So there you go.
Like, it's childish behavior on both their parts.
Yeah.
But come on, you're going to keep her stuff away from her. Stuff that involves your child. Okay. It still doesn't make him look a whole lot better. Nobody looks good in this. You should not escalate it to the point where the cops are called.
No. 100% agree.
On anybody's part. And he's the one who got arrested. Not her. It's like, come on, Jerry. Come on, man. It's not like you robbed a bank or something or murdered somebody, but, you know, there was no physical altercation between the two. But come on.
Be better.
You're better than this, Jerry Judy. Come on, dude. You're better than this. All right. let's get to.
We're into four down territory on the Jim Davis Show on the team.
All right. Start things out with first down, Miami Heat eliminating Philadelphia, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Joel Embiid is going to win the MVP, and they're going to win an NBA title, and yada, yada, yada. Well, Miami eliminates them.
Sorry, Joel Embiid.
Yeah. That Jimmy Butler sent out a tweet, and it was a video, too, that, remember, Butler was in his third season now with Miami, traded there by Philadelphia. And he basically sent out a tweet saying, Tobias Harris over me? Question mark.
Oh.
So that was kind of how the deal played out.
Oh, yeah.
And now Jimmy Butler, who's terrified of water, we played the clip of him screaming before in 2 inches of water getting into a canoe. Though he does have bragging rights. All right, second down. The folks at the Big League, they have the best walk-up songs, or in this case, coming out of the bullpen songs.
Right.
I love the one from Mike Mayers, who is a pitcher for the LA Angels. Mike Mayers plays the Halloween theme because, well, it's Michael Myers. That is the music you hear for him when he comes into the game to pitch.
That's awesome.
I love that. All right, third and fourth down.
All right, last year's schedule release for the Broncos, they featured Peyton Manning, the intern. They did it this year again with a follow-up.
Like our Peyton, the intern.
Yeah, it's exactly. They did a reboot with Peyton, the intern, where he's now training the new guy, Russell Wilson. Here's a short little clip.
As my internship comes to a close today, I've been tasked with training my replacement for the Broncos' newest summer intern. And I, too, know what it's like starting a new job in a new city. So I figured I'd show him the ropes. Schedule release, it's top secret information, and you never know who might be trying to get their hands on it. I mean, these insiders, they are determined, borderline ruthless to get their hands on the scoop.
Hey!
That's Adam Schefter.
You see what I mean? Look at this guy.
And man, this is pathetic. This is real?
It's disgusting. Those binoculars?
Mr. Manning's super busy today, so he's tasked me with getting the building ready for the schedule release, you know. But being the new guy on the job, it's been exciting so far, but I've realized I've got a lot to learn.
And he's got these, like, super nerdy glasses on, too.
That's great.
It's fantastic. Go watch the video. It's great. It's a little awkward because Jerry Judy's in the video.
Hopefully that situation will improve.
Hopefully. Fourth down, as much as I love the Broncos and their schedule release video, the Chargers absolutely killed it with their schedule release. They did a whole anime series with the schedule release that included so many, like, NFL inside jokes. Like, they play the Falcons, so they had a Waffle House, and they knocked out the W in the Waffle House logo with a 28-3 in the, like, little marquee sign. It's so good. Watch it. It's fantastic.
Even if you're obviously not a Chargers fan.
Even if you're not a Chargers fan, just watch it for the jokes. It is so good.
All right, next hour, we didn't get to it this hour. We had a very busy hour. Where in the world is Tyler Franzen?
Yes.
Chance to win a case of Fat Tire from New Belgium Brewery, High Country Beverage, and the Grand Valley Highland Game tickets. So that's coming up next hour. Also, the CMU golf team qualify their entire team for the national tournament out in Michigan. We'll bring back our conversation with Scott Sullivan. Also, talk more about the Central Girls soccer team in the postseason and the Fruit of Monument Boys lacrosse team as well. We'll take a break. Your thoughts on the Broncos schedule, the game that you're the most excited about, text or call us. Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line 970-242-1340.